I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The Burt Show.
I think it's no surprise that LA is expensive, especially when you hear Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills is expensive, which is why we're going to play a little Beverly Hills Wilshire Price is Right. Cassie and I were just out in Beverly Hills for the Gracie Awards, and we were staying at the Beverly Hills Wilshire, which is a very posh, fancy, hoity-toity hotel.
It's where they film Pretty Woman, right?
Correct. You're going to see a theme here in some of our Price is Right stuff. So yeah, it's where they filmed Pretty Woman, and it's a gorgeous hotel. It's where the awards were being held, so it made sense for us to stay there, right? And they had actually special room pricing for those that were there for the Gracie's Gala, which was nice. But we learned while we were staying there that while we got special pricing for the room, everything else was coming at us at full price, like Cassie's pedicure.
Oh my God. I think I will be on my deathbed regretting this, honestly. So I had told Abby this, and I'm gonna fill everyone else in who didn't see my Instagram story. The dress I ordered for the gala, being a plus size gal, I got to go out of my way to find something, did not arrive in time. So the day of the, and I've been out of town dealing with my sister's graduation, all this stuff. So I haven't had time to shop. But in my head, I'm like, check, it's done. I get home from New Orleans, flying out the next day, no dress. I panic. So after the show, I have about 2 hours maybe on Monday before my flight, and I haul it to the mall to try and find something. All right, so that's important because that was the time I was going to use in Atlanta to get a manicure and pedicure before I went to LA. But I'm like, it's a hotel. They will have like some kind of mani-pedi thing there. I will focus on the dress now and I'll deal with that when I get to LA because we've got a little bit of time on Tuesday after we do the show. So I find a dress and then in LA, I go and book an appointment at the salon and I book for a manicure pedicure. And then I see the pricing list and I'm like, just going to do the pedicure because a manicure is $100 and a pedicure is $120. And to be fair, I had Googled it before I went and I saw the mani-pedi was a $120 combo. And I was like, it's just going to have to be a stupid tax, like a late fee is how I'm putting it in my head. Because I can't be on that carpet with gnarly troll claws. Like, there are important people there and there are photos being taken. Absolutely not. So I sit down for the pedicure and I'm like, you know what? I don't have time for a manicure. That's good. It's going to save me money because my husband's like, treat yourself. Not something I normally would do. And so I'm getting it done. And here in Georgia, when we get a pedicure at any place like around here in Atlanta, it's usually as included as like a scrub for your legs, right? Like maybe a callus remover and a massage. Like it's part of the package. So I'm getting it done. And I had already said I'm going to this awards gala. And so she asks me, do you want callus treatment? Which is like takes off the dry skin off your heels. And my heels have been hurting. So I'm like, yeah. I thought she was asking me because I was short on time. And so I was like, I won't do the scrub. I'll do the callus treatment. And she's like, okay. So when I go to check out.
No.
She never told me. And it should have been on me to ask it. No, I shouldn't have known.
No.
She should have said something. But I guess she's used to dealing with rich people.
But if you offer something and it's an additional price, when you offer it, you should disclose to the customer that this is going to cost extra because you're. That's the polite thing to do.
Extra. In fact, it costs $70 extra.
Are you kidding?
So by the time I had my regular nail polish, no gel, regular nail polish, and it wasn't even that. It was just a super basic pedicure. She did a great job. My feet look awesome. But by the time I had checked out with tip, it was $250. for a pedicure, and I feel sick to my stomach every single time I think about it. But what was I going to do at that point? Like, throw a fit in the middle of the Four Seasons Beverly Hills and be like, over a $70? I don't know. And so I just paid it, and it's a lesson that I do not belong in the 1%.
All right, let's play Beverly Hills Wilshire Hotel Price is Right. Tommy, you can get in on this too, sir. Abby, Cassie, the Beverly Wilshire Penthouse Suite.
Oh, boy.
Ooh. This luxurious suite offers 5,000 square feet. 5,000 square feet of space, floor-to-ceiling windows, a wraparound balcony with views, and amenities like marble mosaic flooring, Swarovski crystal chandeliers, and a dining area for 12. How much do you think the suite cost for one night?
It's 5,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm. For one night, how much will it cost you to stay at the Beverly Wilshire Penthouse Suite?
So that's literally 10 times the size of my RV that I'm in right now. So I'm going to pretend it's 10 times the payment of my RV. I'm going to say $5,000 a night.
Okay.
I'm going to go big. I'm going to say $25,000 a night.
Okay. Tommy?
$5,001.
The cost to stay in the Beverly Wilshire Penthouse Suite for one night is $25,000.
Like, when I saw that it was at the end of literal iconic Rodeo Drive, in my mind, I'm like, this is the best of the best of the best. Like, if you're coming into town from, Abu Dhabi or something, you're probably staying there and you're going to pick the nicest hotel price. And they can afford $25,000.
For what I read online, I believe it is the most expensive hotel room per night in L.A.
Do you at least get like a butler with it? Because I went to Atlantis, and I worked for a radio station. We gave away the bridge suite to Atlantis where all the celebrities go. And that was $25,000 a night like 20 years ago. And you get a butler with that.
It didn't say anything about butler in what I found.
Yeah, the butler is $70 extra.
And they don't tell you.
Yeah.
All right, the next item for you to bid on. So the Beverly Hills Wilshire Hotel has experiences that they sell, right?
Guilt over the amount of the cost of everything.
A therapist to go over your bill with.
So the Pretty Woman for a Day experience, all right? How much do you think this cost? Enjoy over-the-top accommodations and one of our highly sought-after penthouse or presidential specialty suites. You already know how much that cost tonight. And indulge in a variety of VIP offerings, a behind-the-scenes tour of Rodeo Drive's most famous fashion houses with your personal wardrobe consultant and stylist, an exclusive dining experience at Michelin recommended Cut by Wolfgang Puck, and a romantic chef's dinner for two in the privacy of your luxurious suite. Retreat to our award-winning Beverly Hills Spa for your own individual 90-minute massage and allow our bath attendant to continue the lavish experience in your accommodations with a hand-drawn bath using personalized aromatherapy oils.
What, a hand-drawn bath? What are they going to use? Markers? It's called running a bath.
You'll also enjoy a dining etiquette lesson and bespoke picnic at a nearby park complete with a musical serenade. No detail is overlooked in this celebrity-style fairy tale.
It's like every word out of your mouth, I added $10,000.
So how much, Abby, for the Pretty Woman for a Day experience at the Beverly Hills Wilshire?
So it's one day you could stay at the penthouse and then everything else.
I don't think it's one. I think it might be a minimum of a couple nights. I'm not 100% sure. This is the only detail that I have.
Okay.
I think you can rent those rooms by the hour.
If it's just one day, I feel like that's 50. But if it's multiple days, I feel like it's like $100,000. If it's multiple days.
$200,000, Bob.
$1.
It is exactly $100,000.
Good at this rich people stuff.
I'm so glad we got you on MillionaireMatch.com now. You totally get it.
I'm spot on when it comes to expensive taste.
All right, here's the last item for you to bid on in the Beverly Hills Wilshire Price is Right. This is the ultimate dreamers experience. It comes to life during an exclusive photo shoot with celebrity portrait photographer Art Schreiber. So a top-tier team will treat you to a touch of Hollywood glamour as you become the subject of your own celebrity photo shoot. Beverly Hills Wilshire has partnered with renowned portrait photographer Art Schreiber to create an exclusive A-list portrait session with all the lights, cameras, and action associated with his award-winning magazine covers and movie posters. While indulging in a luxurious stay at our hotel in one of the newly refurbished suites, so you're not in the penthouse, head out the front door onto Rodeo Drive and shop with celebrity stylist Nicole Pollard Baime to find the perfect outfit for your shoot. Then get camera ready with makeup and hairstyling celebrity hairstylist Leah Giorno, followed by your photo shoot with Stryber. Afterwards, the hotel will roll out the red carpet for a wrap party in the Michelin-starred private dining room at Cut. After your stay, take home a minimum of three finished retouch portraits from your photo session. Any idea how much this celebrity experience cost at the Beverly Hills Wilshire? This time we're starting with Tommy.
$75,000.
Oh, for three pictures. I'm going to go...
A minimum.
$175,000.
I'm going to go even bigger. I'm going to go a quarter mil with $250,000.
$250,000? Abby, you went over.
What?
You went over.
Oh, no. Loser. $200,000?
It is exactly $200,000.
I'm taking that one.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Show. Buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Yeah, I want to eat the rich.
All right, so Justin Baldoni, his legal team has dropped the subpoena against Taylor Swift in his legal drama with Blake Lively. Now, Taylor's team, they had put out a statement making it very, very clear that they had nothing to do with the movie It Ends With Us. They're like, listen, all we did was supply one song for this freaking trailer and for the ending credits. Please leave us the heck alone. And now Justin Baldoni's team has dropped the subpoena after all that drama between all that alleged drama between Blake Lively and Taylor Swift, where supposedly an inside source had leaked the fact that Blake Lively was basically extorting Taylor Swift, saying, hey, if you don't put out a social media statement saying that, like, you're on my side, then I'm going to release 10 years of text messages to the public, essentially. And now it looks like either they have dropped the subpoena because basically, like, they just wanted to get some attention because Taylor Swift obviously is going to get stuff put in the headlines, or people think that Taylor's team is actually cooperating with Baldoni's team behind the scenes. And the latest rumor is that actually the mole in Taylor's camp that has been talking to Baldoni's side is actually Taylor Swift's dad. That's the new rumor, is that it is Scott Swift who has called up Justin Baldoni's lawyer, Brian Friedman, spilling all the details about Blake Lively allegedly extorting Taylor Swift and trying to push her into being a part of Blake Lively's narrative.
Do you think that's a way, like a P, because I'm trying to figure out the why. Like, why would he do that? Right? The why, I learned it from Kristen.
Let's get to the root of the why.
I guess it would be a way for Taylor to distance herself from Blake and not get entangled in a PR nightmare without seeming like a bad friend who's abandoning her friend who's accusing someone of sexual harassment. But that does seem crazy that it's her dad. You would think it'd be her publicist, Tree Payne, or someone.
But again, do we have, like, evidence it's her dad, or is this just an internet rumor right now?
This is just an insider source. But honestly, I feel like when it comes to these types of rumors, Tree Payne, her publicist, typically shuts them down pretty quickly. It usually comes from People Magazine, which is a fairly reputable source when it comes to entertainment news. And so anytime I don't see something get shut down, I always think, like, maybe there's, like, a grain of truth to this. Maybe it's not her dad, but maybe maybe it's her brother in her camp and maybe somebody heard it wrong or somebody spilled the tea with the wrong name. But the more and more that comes out about this and the less that gets shut down in the media, I'm starting to think there's a lot of truth to it.
Do we know how much Tree Payne gets paid? Because that woman works 24/7.
That girl needs to get paid at least as much as Taylor Swift. If Taylor's making $1 billion, Tree Payne needs to be making $500 million. Half of what Taylor Swift is making. Okay, something that made me feel super old. I feel like there's a moment in every person's life where you realize, oh, I'm not as young as I used to be anymore. And for me, that's when the kids started using the term skibbity toilet, because I I don't know what that means. What is it? Why do they say it? Where did it come from? And now, because there's a new skibbity toilet movie coming out, I have finally learned the lore of what skibbity toilet is. So I guess it all started, this little phrase that the Gen Alphas are saying, started with a viral 11-second video on YouTube that I will try to describe, but it'll sound like I'm on acid. It's like a Sims-style video, so it's completely animated. And it's a song that's playing in the background, and it zooms in on an animated toilet, and then a man's head comes out of the toilet, and this is the song that is Skibbity Toilet that is playing while all of that is happening.
What the heck is going on you?
So that becomes a viral sensation. The kids love it. They're saying Skibbity Toilet Riz or whatever the heck. And now apparently legendary director Michael Bay is creating Michael Bay,
the man behind Transformers,
yes,
is now doing a Skibbity Toilet movie.
Every straight man under 35's favorite director is making Skibbity Toilet into a movie franchise. And honestly, it's not too bad of an idea, because it started off with an 11-second YouTube video, just that little clip I played for you. And now they have like hundreds of videos that include an actual plot. So maybe Michael Bay sees something that we don't.
Oh my God. Listen, Hollywood, when we said we were tired of the remakes and we wanted original content, this is not what we meant.
This isn't even original, because I guess they're kind of ripping off the idea of Skibbity Toilet, whatever he's singing. Yeah, from YouTube.
That song low-key kind of slaps.
It does kind of hit. Maybe it's because it's a remix to whatever. I can't remember what that song is.
Okay, I was listening to it. I'm like, that is a song.
If you see me in the club, we'll be dancing all night.
Nailed it.
Yeah. All right, Tory Lanez is back in prison after getting stabbed, but things are going to look a little different for him this time around. I'll explain on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Do you have any advice of how to help a friend get over an irrational fear? Maybe you've helped a friend do this. 1-855-BURT-SHOW, 855-237-8746. Because Katie, producer Katie, that's the boat you're in. You have a friend that you believe has an irrational fear, and you want to help her overcome this, but you don't know how. Because let's just go ahead and ask the first question. Are you a trained professional in helping people get over their fears?
Nope, not at all.
Just a concerned friend?
Yes. Okay. But the thing was, I was going to keep this person's identity anonymous. There's no fun in that.
Yeah.
It's my girlfriend. Okay. So she has an irrational fear, and I'm like, we got to figure this thing out, because I cannot continue to go out with you in public if you're going to just be like hindered by this fear. And it started when we went out to the mall one day, and we were about to go down an escalator. And so as I was approaching it, I felt her like tense up, and she's like, no, you go first. And I was like, okay, are you going to be like right behind me? And she's like, and I'm like, don't tell me you're afraid of escalators.
What?
And she's like, yeah. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go first, and you just come behind me. Like, it's going to be a quick like 5 seconds down, right? So I proceed to go first. And as I'm sliding down, I look back, and she's just letting everyone else go. She's like, no, you go ahead.
So you're going down the escalator, and she's just sitting there getting smaller and smaller and smaller as you go down, and she's not getting on.
No, and she's still, and I'm just like mouthing to her, like, get down, come on. Like, you've let all these people go now. We could have already been at the bottom of this. So she hopped on, and then she eventually came down, and I'm like, what? Where did this fear start?
She's that was
like,
my first question.
She says that she doesn't know. She doesn't remember what day it was that this fear started. She just starts thinking about her toes getting chopped off.
Oh.
If she gets on an escalator. So then she has this fear. And I'm like, okay, well, we're going to have to figure this out.
So there wasn't an incident. Mm-mm. It's just in her head. She created incidences in her head. And that's what bred the fear. Nothing that actually happened in real life.
No. It's just all of what could possibly happen if you get on it. So that day, it was okay because she did get on the escalator and came down. But then she took it to another level this past weekend. So we went to the Atlanta United game and we were at the lower level. And when we were leaving, we came around like the outside instead of just going out the regular gate. We came out, whatever. So as we're leaving, it's a bigger escalator to go up to get towards the parking deck where we were. And so this is like five flights worth. And she looks at it. I'm like, it's just me and you. We got this. we can breathe through this. And she's like, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Normally, I would be like, you got to let people figure out their own stuff. But when it comes to Atlanta, I didn't even realize we are like escalator city. The airport, escalators. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, escalators. CNN Center that you might go to once every 10 years, escalators. Like you can't avoid them. So if she's going to come and visit you, if she's going to be a part of your life, she got to get over this.
My Target has one.
Your Target has an escalator?
Yes.
Escalator.
They're everywhere. So on this one, this was the one that's outside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And it's so big. And so when she says that, and I'm trying to talk her through it, like, okay, if you need me to hold your hand, like what do you need so we can get up this thing? Because I'm not taking five flights of stairs. And she's like,
well, if she's worried about her toes getting cut off, you'll just have to piggyback her on every escalator from here on out.
But what about your toes? Do your toes not matter?
Right.
Is she okay with sacrificing your toes?
I don't know. You know?
Okay. And she's never sought help from, like, I'm trying to, do you think this fear is debilitating at this time? Because she did get on it at the mall. And I'm assuming because you're sitting here now, you found a way to get on the escalator there outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Nah, she's still there.
We're going to send a search and rescue team.
No, we proceeded to walk up five flights of stairs.
No, you
didn't. She refused to get on it. She refused. It was too big and she refused and she was panicking. I'm like, I'm not going to sit here all night. Fine, if I have to walk up these stairs and get my workout in, I will. But next time, we cannot do this again.
Your glutes are going to go crazy.
Yeah.
1 year of dating this woman, oh my gosh, the hamstring exercises you're going to be getting every time you go out with her?
Yeah. She also has a kid. She hasn't imparted this fear on her child, has she?
No, her daughter, it doesn't matter. Her daughter's like, all right, let's go. Like, she does not have that same fear. Now, they do share a common fear of bugs, but I think that's regular.
Yeah.
But they scream a little too loud.
This has an easy solution. You just got to get her a pair of like steel-toed boots every time she gets on an escalator. Just walk around in Lucchese's every time y'all walk out.
How to? Let's just ask ChatGPT. Okay. How to get over your fear of escalators?
It might just might need to do exposure therapy. So maybe you start like you expose yourself to the thing that you're scared of over and over again. So then you start to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
So like maybe just taking small escalators now and then. And I get the fear. Like sometimes when I'm getting on an escalator, if I have a lot of bags, I'm very aware of everything that could go wrong and it can freak you out.
Yeah.
So I don't fault her for it. But I do think like in the environment and the world that we're in, that's just something you're going to have to start to figure out or you're going to get those real strong quads.
Yeah.
All right, getting over a fear of escalators, which is more common than you might think, involves gradually building up your confidence and comfort level. Here's a step-by-step approach that can help. Step one, understand your fear. Name it. The fear of escalators may stem from a fear of falling, getting stuck, losing balance, or being trapped in crowds. For her, it's losing a toe. Recall the trigger. Was there a specific incident that caused this? Understanding the root can help you address it. But we say we don't have a root.
Nope.
All right, your next step. Prepare mentally and physically. Breathe and visualize. Before approaching the escalator, take deep breaths and visualize yourself riding it calmly and safely.
You must become one with the escalator.
Wear supportive shoes. This helps with balance and gives you more control, reducing anxiety.
That's what I'm saying, steel-toed boots.
Mm-hmm.
Can't lose your toes if you're wearing steel.
Practice balance. Exercises, like yoga, or balancing on one foot can increase your confidence.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay, next. Desensitization exposure therapy light, which is what Cassie was just talking about. Watch others. Stand nearby and observe how people use the escalator. Notice how uneventful it is. Start with going up. It's usually less intimidating than going down.
Okay.
Take a friend. Hold someone's hand for support. Or girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Just stand on it. Start by stepping onto it and standing still, gripping the handrail. Do it more. Gradually repeated exposure helps rewire your brain's fear response. All right. We're still going.
Okay.
Another step, affirmations and distractions. repeat calming phrases. I am safe. Okay. I am in control. Mm-hmm. I am safe.
I am in control.
But you're not. You're on the escalator.
Yeah, this seems like yoga and affirmations. I think you just let her do the stairs.
Use a distraction. Listening to music or focusing on your breathing can help you stay calm.
Mm-hmm. Stairway to heaven, maybe?
That's so wrong. Another tip. Celebrate small wins. Each time you ride an escalator, even with fear, you're making progress. Don't minimize it. So maybe she can get like a sweet treat time she gets to the top or bottom of an escalator.
Wait, no, that's great. Okay. Do a Pavlov's dogs thing, a Pavlovian response. Every time she does an escalator, she gets something special. So then she'll start to see escalators as like a sweet treat or, I don't know, a piece of clothing you buy, something like that. It's a positive reward.
Just walk around with little pieces of chocolate and just be like, you did it. Yay! Yay! Look at that chocolate.
We got a week to figure it out.
The Burt Show.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Can you feel it? The healing has begun. And the kids can prove it with how they finish toxic parenting phrases. Have you seen this new trend on social media?
Mm-mm.
Oh my God, I love it so much. So what is happening is parents are giving kids these toxic parenting phrases. And then kids are finishing them. And the way they're finishing them is proving that we're changing the tides. We're breaking generational curses. Kids are feeling love. They're not fearing fear, And it honestly, it's so heartwarming to bear witness to.
I guess I got to try harder.
Wish I could have been a kid in 2025.
I know, right? So I have pulled some of the best clips. And I'm going to give you the toxic parenting phrase, and I want you guys to finish it. And we should know these. And then I'm going to play it in its entirety so you can hear how millennial and Gen X, their kids are finishing these phrases, okay? So we'll go ahead and listen to the first one.
Kids should be seen.
Kids should be seen.
And not heard.
Kids should be seen and not heard. Okay, so this is from Anna Christina M. And she asked her son, kids should be seen. And this is how he finished it.
Kids should be seen.
At school.
Aww. They should be seen at school.
All right, here's your next one to guess. Finish this toxic parenting phrase.
I'll give you something to
cry about.
Correct. Oh. I'll give you something to cry about. Let's hear what her son said.
I'll give you something to
eat with.
Oh. Something to eat with.
And she's like, oh, like a spoon or a fork or something like that. He's like, yeah. All right. This is a very, very popular, like old school toxic parenting phrase. You ready for your next one?
I brought you into this world.
And I can take you out of it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay, come on, Cassie.
Abby, are you like not knowing
any
of these?
Well, because I didn't want to say it over you because then the audience can't hear it. So I'm just letting you take it.
Oh, okay. You get the next one.
Okay. All right. So I brought you into this world. I can take you out. Here's how her son finished it.
I brought you into this world.
To have a great life.
Oh my gosh. This kid is so cute.
I want to be her kid.
I know. It's absolutely precious. All right. Now we have team two moms. Okay. And she is asking these same toxic parenting questions to her son. And here is the first one she asked him.
Big boys.
Oh, I actually don't know this one.
Don't cry?
Correct.
Oh.
Big boys don't cry.
I missed that Fergie song.
All right. And here's how her son finished it.
Big boys.
Big boys are tough.
Big boys are tough.
Okay.
All right. The next one she gave her son.
Pink is for
girls.
That is correct. Pink is for girls. Now, just to paint a picture, she is in the video wearing a pink shirt, and her son is also wearing a pink shirt.
Oh.
So when she asks him, he says,
"Pink is for
everyone."
Aww. Good job. It's so cute.
Dude, every time one of these pops up in my feed, I automatically stop and I watch them. All right, so sunkissed.mama. Now, she's asking her daughter, and her daughter's a tween, okay? And she's asking her some of these. And this is the toxic parenting phrase she gave her daughter.
I love you, but...
I love you, but...
Is there like a natural ending?
I don't know that one.
I love you, but go away.
Oh my God. Are you serious? Mm-hmm. People say that to their kids?
I say that to my cats. I kind of get it.
No, I think it, but yeah. I wouldn't say it.
Yeah. I love you, but go away. Like, but go away. Leave me alone. That is the toxic parenting phrase. So she asked her daughter this, and this is how she finished it.
I love you, but...
Why would you say but?
Aww.
Why would you say I love you but?
Yeah, there should be no but after I love you.
Amen, little kid. And putting the music from Inside Out in there is cruel.
All right, your next toxic parenting phrase?
Just wait until.
Just wait until.
Dad gets home?
Yep.
Well, you don't need to wait till dad gets home. You're going to deal with me.
Just wait until your dad gets home. That's the old school toxic parenting phrase. This is how her daughter finished it.
Just wait until.
Just wait until. You're older?
Okay, people do say that.
Just wait until you're older, yeah. Until you're old enough. All right, and the next one, last one. As long as you live under my roof.
As long as you live under my roof.
As long as you live under my roof,
you'll live by my rules.
That is correct. So when she asked her daughter, this is what her daughter said.
As long as you live under my roof.
You have to be nice.
You have to be nice.
Okay, I'm a challenge. I don't think that last one is toxic. Like, it is my rules. Okay?
I was about to say, I feel like all the Gen Xers and, like, my parents are in the car like, oh, okay, I'm right here.
As long as you live under my house, all you have to do is be nice. You don't have to do anything.
All right, we've been asking.
Soft Gen Alpha. Everyone's so soft now.
You said, all of a sudden you turned into Yoda, and I don't know how that happened.
My mom is Yoda. She's small and a little green.
All right, so this past week we've been asking you guys to call up our voicemail line and download the Burt Show app and leave us a message for your seniors. We've been doing senior shout outs. So if you're the parent of a senior, if you are the family member of one or a sibling or even just a good friend and you wanted to give a special senior a shout out, we ask you to leave messages. And here is our next round of senior shout outs.
I want to give my son, Broden Hanley, a shout out graduating from Indiana Digital Learning School. He is not only graduating with his high school diploma, but he has worked his tail off and has been taking 14 courses per semester for the last year and a half to also get his associates. And I just wanted to know that I love him and I'm so, so proud of him. Congrats, baby.
Hey, I want to say congratulations to my nephew, Zachary Gonzalez from Etowah High School. So proud of you, Zach. You did awesome. Have a great time at Tech. From Theo Henry.
My name is Alethea. I want to give a shout out to my twin daughters, seniors graduating from Pebble Brook High School with honors, Amaya and Amelia. You did it. Congratulations. I love you both so much, and I can't wait to see what's in store for you as you embark on this journey of life as adults. Congratulations, girls.
Hi, I want to give a shout out to my son Austin Bozar at Alliance Academy for Innovation in Cumming, Georgia. I am so proud of him. He has worked so hard to attend Georgia State University in the fall. Congratulations, Austin, class of 2025. I love you. Love, Mom.
Hi, I want to give a senior shout out to my son, Adrian Sanchez, who is graduating from Shadow Ridge High School in Las Vegas, Nevada. Papito, Words can't even explain how extremely proud I am for you. And we are so excited to see you walk across that stage on Wednesday. We love you so much. Congratulations, and congratulations to the class of 2025.
Hi, my name is Kayla Smith, and I wanted to give a big shout-out to my nephew, Nathan James Smith, who is graduating from Bangor Township Virtual School. We are also proud of you, Nathan Smith, and we love you, and we can't wait to watch you walk.
This shout-out is to my daughter, Avery Lynn Plumpton. She's graduating from Springfield High School in Springfield, Tennessee, class of 2025. We are just so proud of her. She's just gone through so many trials and tribulations, and she has just been headstrong throughout all of it, and we are just super proud of you, baby girl. I love you so much. Go class of 2025.
All right, if you're wondering where Bert is today, his youngest son, Hollis, is graduating. We'll be donning cap and gown, walking across that stage. So Bert is taking him to breakfast, and then they have the graduation. So congratulations to Hollis, and congratulations to the class of 2025.
The Bert Show.
Is she the a-hole for telling her best friend her marriage is doomed? And it's not so much, I think, being honest with your best friend. It's the fact that she chose to do it at her friend's bachelorette party.
Oh, my God. You got to do that before the engagement. Like, once that ring is on, baby, it's a one-way trip to marriage town.
Even after the ring is on? Like, yeah, you voiced your opinion and you think, because there's always a chance they're going to break up. And there's also always a chance an engagement's going to break up.
Yeah.
But they get engaged. And that's a one and done conversation. Either they're going to listen to you or they're not.
Mm-hmm.
But they get engaged and be like, hey, here's how I feel as your friend, blah, 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 blah. And then after that, it's done. Choosing to do it at the bachelorette party is savage.
It's dubious. It's dubious. It's diabolical. Because I've had that conversation before. And I told my friend, I said, listen, I'm going to say this once. And I'm going to say it one time only. And I'm going to be unemotional about this. And I didn't go into some tirade. I just listed off the facts, what I had seen. And I said, I just want you to know, this is what I'm noticing. You can now take that and do with it what you will. But after that, hands off. Like, now anything that happens is on you. So I think it's got to happen before the engagement.
Your opinions are noted, but I am interested to see how you feel after you hear what went down. I'm 27, and I've been best friends with Amy, who's 28, for years. She has been with this guy, Jake, for about 3 years, and honestly, he is a walking red flag. He is super controlling, jealous, always checking her location, and once he called her 9 times while we were just shopping at Target. Amy keeps defending him, saying he's protective because he cares so much. Whatever. So at her bachelorette party, it was supposed to be a fun girls' night, but Jake kept blowing up her phone. Texts, FaceTimes, asking where she was, accusing her of acting single. She kept leaving to call him back, crying and apologizing while the rest of us sat there awkwardly at her bachelorette party. After about the 4th time that she left the table, I just lost it. When she came back, I said loud enough for the whole table to hear, you're not marrying a husband. You're signing up for a lifetime of being babysat by a jealous man-child. Amy started crying and ran out of the bar. Half the girls followed her. And later that night, her mom called me, drunk, thanking me because apparently they have all been worried about Jake, but they didn't know how to stop the wedding. Her mom told Amy that if she goes through with the wedding, they're not going to pay for it. So now Amy has blocked Jake, moved out of their apartment, and moved back into her parents' house. But she also blocked me for humiliating her in front of half of our friend group Half of our friend group is saying I did the right thing, and the other half is calling me jealous and toxic for blowing up her relationship right before the wedding. So, am I the a-hole?
That was a lot of detail to take in.
This is kind of the perfect example of it's not what you say, but how and when you say it.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone is really feeling this way about Jake, so much so that the mom is calling you and being like, oh, thank God, like we did not want to pay for this wedding, then you probably have like a seriously toxic dude on your hands. So do I think she was right for saying it at the bachelorette in the way that she did? Absolutely not. I'm going to give her some grace because I'm sure there was a little bit of tequila involved. But I think obviously this is how everyone's been feeling. And if the parents are willing to not pay for the wedding, then yeah, I think it's a serious enough issue to speak up and say something.
Yeah. Is she the a-hole for telling her friend that? No. Is she an a-hole for doing it at the bar in front of everybody and embarrassing her at her bachelorette party? She is, absolutely. Like, if you're at the bar, you're having, you know, you're allegedly having fun. Obviously, she's not because she's constantly going out and talking to the overbearing fiance. But when she comes back in, you let your emotions get the better of you about a relationship that you are not in. Granted, it's your friend and you care about her and you want to see her be in a healthy relationship, not a controlling one. But the way you outed her in front of everybody, instead of just like, hey, I need to go to the bathroom, will you come with me? Pulling her aside and be like, I'm really worried about you. Like, this is not healthy behavior. He is ruining your bachelorette party. But then again, if she hadn't done it the way she had done it, would she still be with him?
And that's my thing, because mm-hmm. I guarantee, she doesn't say it, but if you've got a guy blowing up your phone, where are you, 9 times while you're at Target, they have to have said something. So it almost sounded like everyone needed to know that this guy was a D-bag for her to finally address it. So is she the a-hole or is she a really good friend?
What does the Reddit thread say?
Split yeah. between the two. Mm-hmm.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Rapper Tory Lanez is being moved to a different prison facility after he suffered 14 stab wounds in his previous facility. This was a pretty crazy story. So he had reportedly gotten stabbed so many times that one of his lungs actually collapsed and he had to be hospitalized. And now his attacker is in a completely different housing facility and he's being moved to a new prison. The father of Tory Lanez said he's being moved right now as we speak and we have concerns. He has just been discharged not many days ago from the hospital and he was discharged with 14 stab wounds. This is a bit of a different tone because last time we heard from them, they were like, oh yeah, you know, he's been stabbed, but he's in good spirits. And I was like, okay, that's kind of an odd thing to say for someone who could have literally died. And he must just be doing good enough, I'm assuming, for mm-hmm. them to assume that he would be doing fine in prison. Or maybe they have the right health facilities in whatever place he's being moved to where he can be housed there for a bit.
I saw a headline where apparently Megan Thee Stallion is getting like a bunch of hate DMs because of what happened to Tory Lanez, and they're blaming her.
Oh my God.
Because the fact that he's in prison and that he got stabbed, and she's being like attacked online and on social media and with messages.
Now, I know there's discourse as to whether or not he actually was the one to do it or not, but the reality is he was convicted of it, and that's why he's serving 10 years. So you can't blame, like, the justice system did what it did. You know what I mean? If she said this is what happened to her and the justice system found that he did that, I mean, I understand there's room for debate, but that's what he's been convicted of. That's why he's in prison.
Do we know, I'm sorry if I missed it, why he got stabbed?
No, I mean, I'm assuming it's just like a scuffle, a little tussle in jail or whatever. I mean, I'm sure, you know, things can get pretty heated or maybe somebody has really strong feelings about Megan Thee Stallion and they felt like mm-hmm. they were doing something on her part.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was like a hit or something or a contracted stabbing or if it was just like a prison yard fight.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know the details on who stabbed him. We just know that they have been separated for obvious reasons, but we really don't know the motive, although we can kind of assume it probably does have something to do with Megan, which is probably why she's getting all of those DMs. All right, on a much lighter note, Whoopi Goldberg is getting very candid about something she hasn't done in 50 years. So recently on The View, she decided to tell the other women that she has not worn a bra in 5 decades.
Hero.
Yeah, I don't wear a bra.
She doesn't wear a bra. Where's your microphone, though?
Huh?
Your
yeah.
mic pack.
On my underwear.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Oh,
that's...
She liberated those girls a long time ago.
Yeah, that's the trick.
I have not worn a bra.
No, she doesn't.
In 50 years.
Well, they're torture devices. They're torture devices. Oof.
Because I didn't understand. It's too uncomfortable.
They are uncomfortable.
And I just, and I don't mind if they hit the floor. They're mine.
She's braver than me.
This is the kind of heroism that we need. Okay, so if you love your bras, have at them. But I'm wearing one right now, and it is the most uncomfortable thing ever. It keeps slipping down my shoulder. It is ill-fitting, this one. And I want to take it off. And everyone, I feel like, every woman knows that sigh of relief when you walk into the house and then you can just take the bra off and you're like, oh, and you can breathe again. You know what? I stand with Whoopi, and I might go take mine off right now.
For the whole show. It is a lady show.
It is a lady show.
It's a man-free zone.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes you feel more comfortable. Although, there is no reason that you should feel uncomfortable if there were men here.
You know what? Maybe I will, maybe I won't. And you'll just have to watch the videos to see if, do they hang low or are they perky?
We're going to be looking at our analytics, be like, why do we have 1 million more views than we normally do this week? What are people, what content did we put out? Well, speaking of not body shaming anybody, Travis Kelce is getting a lot of comments on his body after some photos of him in Florida are going viral. Have y'all seen these shirtless photos of Travis Kelce?
Yes, and I will defend him because I am married to a hairy man and there is nothing wrong with body hair. And if he is getting attacked, I will defend him.
I don't think he's getting attacked. I think people are starting to kind of poke fun at him a little bit because there's these photos of him going around where he's shirtless. He's taking off his shirt. I think he is doing some kind of training camp in Florida right now. I guess he has like a $20 million mansion in Boca Raton. And the paparazzi got him. And you kind of see like all these little patches of hair on his back to where it honestly, somebody joked that it kind of looked like Taylor was trying to wax it and then just gave up because there was so much hair. But he's a furry dude. And people are like, we had no idea he had all that going on underneath the shirt.
It makes total sense because if you look at his brother, Jason is a very hairy dude as well. And that is a typically like a hereditary trait. It's in your DNA. And listen, like I said, I married a very hairy man who has a very hairy back, who gets it waxed whenever we go to a beach. And I saw that and I was like, dude, more power to you.
More power to you. And it'll keep you warm in the winter.
It does. Even and depending how long May. You get it, when you put your arm around him, you can take your hand and like run it through the hair and pull it out a little bit.
Ew.
Just like that.
Be honest, have you braided up before?
No, I can't do that. It's too curly. I can't do it.
That's what I want to see Taylor do is I wanted to see her braid it and then like put the little friendship bracelet beads in it and that's how she's going to announce Rep Taylor's version. It's coming. All right, I don't want to speak too soon, but Kanye West is apologizing for some of his actions. I'm going to tell you what it has to do with a FaceTime call with his kids on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.